Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, it is the build-up show, Liverpool versus Arsenal, to round out what has been a bit of an up and down, but you know, a largely magnificent 2018. Recency bias plays a massive part in that, of course. Chris Pajak, Arsenal. It's cliche, it is, but it is. It's a massive game. You know, we're top of the league. Man City looming. We would, and I know Man City are no longer the direct competitors because they've slipped to third or whatever. For me, look, and we all know Man City are going to be there or thereabouts. It would be nice to go in there. Well, it would be nice to be 10 points ahead of them at some point over the weekend.
Yeah, that would be lovely. Yeah. Lovely. But yeah. No, look, I think the focus isn't on Man City right now. Not for the squad, not for Jurgen Klopp. The focus is on Arsenal because we know how good they can be this season. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're, at the moment, you can see that they're all happy with their manager. Emery's doing a great job. They've got a forward in Aubameyang that I'd take at Liverpool. I mean, absolutely. He is top draw. That goal he took on Boxing Day, I mean, it's so Henry-esque. Yeah. He doesn't need to take a touch. He just blams a top bin.
I wonder on him, because it was like this time last year, I remember looking at the January transfer window and saying, who can we get? And it was clear that he was going to be available. I wonder if we were playing, if he was available this January.
And we were 4-2-3-1.
4-2-3-1, whether we'd have actually made the move.
I think we would have. And maybe one of the reasons we didn't is because Klopp didn't know him. Maybe he didn't think he was right for the squad. And, you know, he knows he was a top draw player or whatever. But they've got some talented football. As Arsenal, but so have we.
Yeah.
You know, and we're riding the crest of a wave at the moment. We've played every team in the league and we're unbeaten halfway through the year. It's about trying to make sure that we can go the next half of the season.
Well, it's about that, isn't it? It's about not going. It's great, and we were right to enjoy our Christmas.
Yeah,
absolutely right to enjoy our Christmas. But now, you know, when we've just literally spent an hour doing the final word, and it's been great, and it's annoying that we then have to immediately go into the show and cut off all that and start looking to the future. But that's what football
is. That's exactly what the footballers have got. Yeah. They've gone into Melwood and they've been told, forget the past, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, all you've got to focus on is Arsenal. You know, in Arsenal, they're sort of coming out of the wilderness because they sort of stagnated under Wenger, didn't they? He stayed there like 2 or 3 years too long.
Yeah.
And so they've suffered for that. And, you know, give him his due, he's actually got them playing decent football. You know, they're pleasing their own crowd again. But they're a bit like us 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, they're new. They look a bit shiny, but also that comes off.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going through a bit of a sticky patch at the moment. Mm-hmm. Still a dangerous side. You wouldn't want to underestimate them, but hopefully they're not really strong enough yet to be beating us at Anfield.
I think they had going for it at the Emirates. I thought they really impressed me, to be honest, John. I thought they look such a threat, and the Aubameyang thing, the Lacazette thing, etc., etc. So we know how good they can be. We've experienced it firsthand, of course. But I think my dad's right. I think, again, it's a football cliche. I don't know how true it is pertains in this regard. But you know, they have only won one in the last four. They have hit a little bit of a sticky patch, and you can start to see it in the reactions of some of their fans. I think they're starting to see exactly what my dad said there. They started brilliant. It was such a break, such a breath of fresh air for them. But there is a reality to it. We're actually seeing it with Chelsea as well, to some extent. When you get a new manager in, this is the time of the season when you can start with, like, free, let the shackles off for the first half of the season. Play with freedom. Forget what happened before. You're free. Run free, lads. Football fun. When you get to this is when you need tactics and you need to be well-drilled. And you do, clubs in those phases of transition always seem to struggle in December, January. We've seen it with Liverpool.
No, I think
similar type of thing happened with the Ev when they got Martinez after Moyes, and you saw that that first season they were great, and then, you know, things came off after. But I think it's the worst time of year for them, I think, in terms of the fact that they can't drill things on the pitch at the minute, because just because of how quick the games are coming and the fact that, you know, they're still in the cup and stuff. But he's done a lot of the right things in terms of just letting people off, you know, like I said, letting the shackles off on a lot of the attacking players that they had, and just saying go out and win us. And he's put Torreira in the middle to shore up at the back. But I just think I don't think it's any coincidence that they've got to the point of the season now where a few of the people have started picking up knocks, and they've never been the best team, Arsenal, I think, are keeping players fit, to be honest. And now some of those people are missing, all of a sudden it's like, well, we've got to rely on the system, and it's not working for them necessarily. It's I think he's trying to put a lot of square pegs in round holes at the minute.
Yeah, the balance of it. He was getting a lot of praise, Emery, for his tactical decisions and his, you know, substitutions and stuff like that, and now they're starting to go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, he took Lacazette off after about an hour the other day, didn't he? Haven't gone with the two forwards. He changed his mind after an hour, and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. You know, and they've said they changed formation from a diamond to,
well, they played the diamond 3-1, last night. Yeah, exactly.
And then that just didn't come off, and whereas they've been strong in second halves in an awful lot of games early in the season, you know, they went totally wrong against Brighton.
This is that point, and it was well expanded on by John Riddick. This is like, you see the Liverpool players and the managers talk about it all the time, about this phase of the season. You don't train.
Yeah.
You play and you recover.
I think that's the best point, because, you know, he needs to be able to get his ideas across to his players still, because he's only had them for a few months. Whereas I think what we're seeing with this Liverpool side at the moment is a lot of muscle memory, but also a lot of trust in each other. And I think that's one thing that we don't talk enough about, especially when it gets to this busy period where there's games. Just knowing what the lad you're playing alongside is going to do is going to make that easier in game. Yeah. Whereas when you're still trying to learn things, you're not quite on the same wavelength as other players. Stuff starts to break down a little bit, whereas now Klopp's side are like, well, we know what we're doing, we're fully versed in this, we've been doing this for a few years. So when everybody's not training, but you've had a settled three-year period,
we also know the opposition now. Yeah. You listen to Klopp's press conferences now, and he knows all the opposition players. You know, he knows the teams, then no surprises for him. You get Emery and Sarri coming in. They're coming in through a brand new league. They might have heard of Huddersfield, but what players?
He doesn't have to get his map out every week now and go, how far's Bournemouth?
He's got it on the wall in his office, remember, Paul?
If he hasn't got time to train his players, they're only recovering and going to play again. He's got no time to work with them on that particular team. Yeah. Whereas Klopp will have already worked with our players against Arsenal, because he's played them, you know, half a dozen times since he arrived.
Yeah,
you know.
No, it's absolutely true. Interesting stuff. I think, would we say, based on the amount of creaks we're here, that we should probably oil that boss's chair?
And the turkey butties. Yorkshire pudding wrap, nice wear.
Fabinho, I would say he's probably a defo for this game, given he was rested for midweek. Midweek.
At some point over the Christmas period, we don't know the names of the days anymore. Absolutely. It was the Boxing Day one. Was rested. And you know what? He'll have been gutted not to be in the side again, you know, but he comes on and he gets a goal. And I don't know who your first choice midfielders anymore, because they're all playing at a level when they come in now, and a very, very high level. And I've said it for a few months, they're the engine room of this side. And, you know, you've got to keep refreshing that. You've got to keep putting petrol in the tank for the car to keep going and all that type of stuff, because the forwards are going to continue to do what they do. The defence is settled at the back, barring injuries, but they work so hard in the centre of the park. They're the lads that you need to keep changing.
The Fabinho thing is interesting for me, Dad, because he was poor, I think, against Arsenal at the Emirates. You know, he'd just come into the side, and we were so excited to see him play there. He had a great game against Belgrade, he had a great game against Cardiff, well, a good game against Cardiff, and we were like, right, this is it, this is the guy, play him in every single situation, every game, from now until eternity. And then he didn't get to grips with the pace of that game.
It's only a couple of games ago that we saw exactly how good he could be. Mm. But in that game, he was totally outplayed by Torreira, wasn't he, you know? And I think that's the battle this time. Yeah. If you can keep him quiet, then the game's won for me. And Fabinho, you know, has his chance to step up and do that.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting, John, because we've now, the change of formation, We've played three different, well, four, arguably, formations, or at least four different setups in recent weeks. You, the two in midfield has been the one that's given us the most comfort, I think. It's the one that gets the best out of Fabinho. It's been the one that started to get the best out of Henderson, arguably the best out of Gini Wijnaldum. But we could easily, and this is a team that's going to attack us, we could easily completely flip it and go back to a 4-3-3 for this one.
No, I think we could do, and I think I agree with your dad there. I think Torreira for them is the key man, but I also think that their defence is very suspect and they're missing a lot of a lot of key personnel, especially Bellerin. I think his recovery for them is key when they fuck up. But he might well do it, and he might just say yes to you. I think of just kind of like, look, we're in a good vein of form. If we just go at these with everything we've got, score two or three, their heads are going to go, you know what I mean? They're just going to think, well, they don't really give goals up, you know what I mean? So what do we do here? And it could be that, and then he starts taking players off to, you know, conserve legs and stuff. So it's a tactic I think he might do, because I think, you know, the front five at Arsenal is great, but the back at the minute, there's a lot of work for that team, I think, at the back end of the pitch.
Yeah, well, you know, they've been extolling the virtues of Rob Holden all season. We know he's out for the season, of course. Lichtstein is likely to play. Monreal's a doubt. Bellerin out, etc. There's a talk that Koscielny might be out. It bodes well, doesn't it? Considering that
I'll be honest. And the reason why is because I think they know that they can't keep the back door shut. And I think that's like a wounded animal almost. Mm. It's like the only way they're going to be able to beat us is to go at us, because I don't think they'll trust themselves to keep it shut.
And I suppose, you know, I think we mentioned this ahead of the Emirates game, is that them being very similar to early Klopp Liverpool, is that what we were very good at the time, it's all well and good being a sticky vein of form, but if you can pin a picture of Liverpool up on a, you know, the dressing room mirror and say, this is your target, you can put all your eggs into this, we focus on this, we can find a way to get something out of Liverpool. You know, I mentioned it about the Man United game, but, you know, they were just too far gone at the time. Them having that quality up front, Mkhitaryan, he's not been great for them, but it will be a loss. Ozil, who knows what's going on with him at the moment, but the Aubameyang Lacazette thing, as we saw at the Emirates, these are lads that only need a sniff and they can cause
a absolutely problem. Like they're quality players, and factor in that they'd really like to beat us for the Invincibles.
Yes,
you know, their club has that one record above all others at the moment. Yeah. And I bet you they'd like to be the ones.
Their fans are going to be like pigs in shit if they beat us and be the first team to beat us. And there's going to be all that stuff flying around the place. Again, we talked about this on the final word. As us as fans, that's the stuff that gnaws away at us while we're watching games unfold. Hopefully, cross our fingers, Liverpool as a team, as a squad, mentally are beyond that. But yeah, that is... there is that story waiting there, because the second you start to talk about, I said this every year, some team starts the league like a house on fire, and the second you mention the quadruple is the day they get knocked out of the League Cup or the FA Cup. It's just how it works. So, you know.
The fact is, this is the first game, really, haven't gone half a season unbeaten, where you're going to get the pressure because of Arsenal's, you know, record. The focus is going to be on our unbeaten record. And if we get through them, then City, and the pressure will then again be on us. The focus, particularly while we're at the top of the league, every game we're going to get that pressure more and more. You know, who's going to beat
them? Well, we avoided a lot of focus, I think, so far, Dad.
And I think we've done brilliantly up to
now. Because we've been the plucky underdogs and no one's really believed.
Yeah, we've just sort of come to the last lap, and we've taken the lead. But, you know, there's still a way to go. But the pressure now, everyone is watching us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's not like that.
not overly enamoured with that.
What I like,
how many Arsenal fans watch this? There'll be a few. Dad, this is what City did last year.
I say this right now for any of the Arsenal fans watching, and for football fans in general, I rate that Invincible season highly. Yeah. Like, and I know, because it's Man United fans who try to pollute it, and like,
you lost in the cup,
and you dream loads of games. They didn't lose a game of football in the league. That's amazing. That is absolutely, and if it wasn't amazing, like, everyone would do it. It'd be done all the time.
And they had an amazing team.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. I love
And Robert Pires was probably my favourite player for a long time.
Just fantastic. So yeah, it was a fantastic achievement. And I don't think Liverpool will go on beating for the rest of the season. I think what we've seen is how quickly it can change this last 3 weeks. As you know, we were talking on the final word that how, you know, we've gone from being, you know, chasers to comfortably, in inverted commas, clear at the top. two games makes a can make a massive difference, particularly with the Arsenal and
the
City looming.
The trick's going to be, if you're going to lose a game, you get rid of that pressure of being unbeaten.
Yeah.
The trick is not to lose another one.
Yeah, the trick is if you stumble and City hit a roll and get
then
back
went
up to
lost
your feet.
Two more. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you only lose one and you shore it up quickly.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It does make you think about how incredible that Invincibles side is, because we're halfway through the season and it's been tough just to get to this point. And we've not had the pressure of you will actually go unbeaten for the entire season.
I think the good thing they had for the time was they'd been so good for a few years. That was the peak era of Arsenal, wasn't it? From like 98 to 2004 or whatever, when they were just something else. I mean, you could argue
they maybe didn't win enough league titles, to be fair, with that side.
Maybe, yeah. But, you know, they were used to being an elite side in the league, whereas it's so hard for us because we won it so badly because it's been so long. What I like, though...
Imagine if Liverpool haven't won the league for nearly 30 years and then just go unbeaten.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? You know what you should have been doing, lads? Not losing games of football.
That's
how
you should
loads of Premier League.
Yeah, best way to do it. What I like about all this and everything we're talking about here, John, is that... Jürgen referenced it in his post-match press conference, is that this is a motivational tool for him. Man City are the motivational tool, whereas they've been in every aspect so far this season. It's like, follow them, stay close, follow that car, stay close, don't lose sight of them, whatever you do. And now it's, well, listen, lads, don't take your eyes off the ball, don't slow down, don't get complacent, don't be
stay in your lane.
Stay, because the second you take your eyes off the prize, this is what happens to you. This is the best side that's ever been, the best, most expensive side ever constructed. And look at them now, the third in the league. And if you take your eyes off the prize, what's going to happen to you? So I like the fact that Klopp clearly gets this. He doesn't think of it as being a one-horse race or a two-horse race. He's referencing Tottenham, he's referencing City. He knows
Tottenham never went away, he said. No. He said, well, yous were the ones that stopped talking about him, not me.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the thing, you know... It's great that the manager gets it and is using it as that motivation.
No, I love that he's lampening down the expectations around what we're doing. It's great. I wouldn't want him coming out and saying, you know, that we're going to go all the way or whatever. That's exactly the opposite of what you need. I think you need to be looking at a City and as well as saying, you know, obviously look at what they've done and where they are and where they are now. But you need to be looking at them and saying, look, wasn't Chelsea who beat them? You know, I mean, it wasn't, you know, or Spurs, it was Leicester. You know, there's other teams in this league who can do us damage, and you know, we need to keep it. It's not just like the big games coming up. You know, and I'm not taking nothing away from Arsenal, and I'm not saying they're a big team because they are a big team.
Leicester are two of the teams that are beaten. So yeah. It's a great shout, and Klopp will be using that as he moves forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great shout.
Right, we're going to do our preferred 11s in a moment, but first. It's that time of the show. It is the outbreak, and it is a perfect time for you to sign up to the RedmenTV.com. Here's everything we got going on over there. Yep, fantastic. Is there a better time to have as much Liverpool content in your life as you can possibly have? No, it's literally, we've been doing this. We had Roy Hodgson in charge when we started doing this, me and Chris. It was shit, and now it's absolutely amazing. So get over there. Final words, we've got, you know, hour-long reviews in this kind of format, talk about every game. Chris delving in depth into the stats and tactics. We've got the Man of the Match podcast as well. There is the Reds transfer news, so all your transfer news and rumours covered, everything off the pitch. We've got the Liverpool Women's podcast. We have got a whole host of other stuff that is so many things I lose track. But yeah, fantastic content. Perfect time to sign up. It's free for the first month. Go and have a look. Get involved. See how you get on with it. And then it's £5 a month thereafter. You won't regret it. And you can get it as well, not just in video form, but in podcast form. So if you listen to this as a free podcast, and you're like, yeah, I like this. I like being able to listen to it on the go. You can get it into your podcast app as well. So yes.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All of that stuff. Right, Preferred 11s, John Reid, I will start with you. Nathaniel Klein in at right back, mate.
I think he probably deserves a go, based off his, you know, his cameos and his recent performance. I think you've just got to keep things fresh. I think throughout this period, I think is like kind of the bit where we need to turn the screw a bit on what's around us and keep sort of, you know, trying to pull a fast one and keeping as much of the team taken over as we can. But I just worry about, you've got the left back conundrum of Andy Robertson's basically played every game we've played this season, and what now we're a bit short at the back. Who'd you put there?
Yeah,
and I think I wonder if the solution is, do we rotate Klein across both full back positions?
Isn't it funny how prior to United that would have been a bonkers shout that you've just thrown in there, throwing Klein in against one of your biggest rivals in the league. But you know, I think it's an interesting point, Chris, because we saw what Klein can do. You know, he's a proper right back. And as much as we were worried about what he might hamper us in terms of going the other way, look, yeah, he doesn't have the quality on the ball that Trent Alexander-Arnold does. But he's not like, he's not putting a centre-half at right-back. He got up and down, he supported the attack brilliantly. But moreover, we struggled at times, you know, and it, particularly when you let the likes of Aubameyang drifting out to the left-hand side, or like I said, Trent had a torrid time at the Emirates earlier in the season. He was completely at fault for their equalising goal in the build-up to it. There's a very strong case there. Go and put a safe pair of hands.
He's a quality player. Yeah. He's a quality player.
When we signed him, he was an attacking fullback. He was famous for going forward.
Yeah.
You know, so I think
the game's moved on a bit even since then.
I think he is a good shout. I mean, I don't think Trent's going to play every game over the holiday period. And I think Milner's still got his dodgy hamstring. So, you know, Klein's a good bet.
The reason I didn't pick Klein for this game is I actually think he might play him at City away.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, for me, playing at home against Arsenal, no disrespect to Arsenal, but there is a lot riding on that game at City away. And if James Milner's not going to be fit for either, then I'd maybe play Trent in this one and Klein away.
I mean, for Trent, given that he's been out, for them to go straight back in and play three games back to back in, what, 10 days or probably it's less than probably, isn't it? Like, is, you know, that's an interesting, it's a very interesting shout. One player that we won't be seeing, just to, I meant to mention this earlier, is almost certainly Alberto Moreno. Has everyone seen the Moreno quotes?
Oh yeah. Sure.
What a little tit. I do not feel good. That is the truth, he told Cadena. I hate myself giving everything to this team, and I think that when I came back from injury, I deserved an opportunity. Situation is normal for a lot of players, but simply I did not like the way he, Brad Jürgen Klopp, has treated me. You can say that. Moving back to Spain is something I've thought about. I'm tired of the cold here, but I do not know about interest from other clubs. My fifth year, there's no agreement on a renewal in January. I'm free to listen to any offer.
But there is an offer on the table.
Can I give him an offer? I'm happy to drive you back to Spain, mate, if you want it. Defended you little gobshite. It's the first one, isn't it? You know, we've the first player. We talk about this, how everyone, great unity in the squad. And no, I think it was Danny Murphy actually said it on Match Today. Great unity in the squad. No one's really kicking up a fuss. There it is, Alberto Moreno.
Give him his, you know, Dewey. He's not getting a look in.
No.
The fans ate his guts, no matter how well he plays.
It is cold.
Why wouldn't you want to go somewhere to play football?
Yeah, and they banned those hoverboard things, didn't they?
I'm not sure we've got proper cover, and I'm not convinced Klein is necessary.
Well, we saw him very briefly, didn't we? He came off the bench and played left back.
But he can do a job there, but you lose a lot more
Have we got any younger lads who are good enough to...
Yeah, absolutely. Don't know any of the names.
Don't know who they are, but...
Camacho got a left leg.
Yeah, Adam Lewis. Thanks, Ross. Well, you're in the big books. John, you've gone Henderson, Fabinho, Shaqiri, Firmino, Mare, Salah in a 4-2-3-1. So interesting stuff. Dad, moving on to you then. Another one who's gone for Klein. You've gone for Fabinho, Gini Wijnaldum in a two-man midfield, and the same Shaqiri, Firmino, Mane, and then Salah up top again. Any reason why Henderson's not in for this one?
City.
Just simply because of that?
Yeah, playing with City.
Okay. Very interesting. Chris, you went very close to, a three-man midfield of Gini, Fabinho, Hendo, and last minute you pulled out, which if you'd done earlier in life, you'd be a very different man these days.
But
in this instance, you've gone Gini, Fabinho in the midfield, and you've gone, the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, I think Fabinho and Wijnaldum, for me, I think we've seen a little bit more of those two playing together. I really like that as a midfield. And I feel like Henderson worked harder than Wijnaldum in terms of his running stats. I can't back that up, but he was all over the pitch. So if there's anything like tiredness or anything like that, I think Wijnaldum would be good to go in this game.
I think the good thing about it is that we've got that option, haven't we? You can pick two from three of Fabinho, Gini and Henderson. You find, you know, Wijnaldum, I'm bringing right in saying Wijnaldum came off, didn't he? For Fabinho in the last game. So they've both got minutes in the legs, so we should be reasonably okay. I went Trent at right back, not because I've thought of he's got about rotating him. I just think I've kind of gone, I'd rather just see him play. I like Klein and all that, like, but I think it's a decent shell play, and it was a more conservative right back against Man City, and that wouldn't shock me at all. If we did similar to what they did at Anfield, and we actually went and played on our defence a little bit more in that game, so go ahead. A draw is a better result for us than it is for you. But anyway, Lovren, Van Dijk, Robbo. I went Henderson, Fabinho. I've gone 4-2-3-1. I put Mane on the right, Keita on the left.
So no Shaqiri.
Firmino, and so no Shaqiri for this one. And so, because I think we might need Shaqiri off the bench again, potentially for this one. What we've seen is Arsenal coming very strong in the second half of games. I'd like us to have another gear to go to. In a similar regard, so you know where they would normally break.
This is a break from the norm for you. You're very much a normally get them all on, get the goal.
But I think that's how good we are at the minute. I think we can do that. And Shaqiri's just as good off the bench as he is starting, isn't he? So I wouldn't mind. I've got no problem with that. When Arsenal think this is like kind of like United did, when Arsenal think, oh, this is our time to strike, we just bring Shaqiri on and let him run riot against their makeshift defence, a tired makeshift defence. I like the idea. But in that, I've put Mane, Bobby, Keita behind Salah. That could just as easily be Salah from one wing, Keita as a 10, Firmino back as the 9, and we'd be just as much of a threat. So yeah, deal with that, Unai. Let's have a look at the rival fixtures then.
Are they right?
They are right this time. Yeah, I very nearly put next week's in just to make sure that it was really difficult when I was writing the City agenda, but no. Spurs, Wolves, 3 p.m. A good chance for them to close a little bit of a gap. And Wolves have been, as
we've got to keep the Wolves at bay first, though, Paul.
Wolves at bay. Get the wolf from the door.
There's your dad joke.
Yeah, nailed it. Look, Wolves, we've seen Wolves ourselves. It wouldn't shock you to see Wolves pick up points here, but that's a big test for Spurs, isn't it? You know, and I think it's actually probably a game too far for Wolves in terms of them. You know, the
way they're playing at the moment. I mean, I could see 3-4-0 to Spurs then.
Yeah, the Wolves are a typical promoted side. Start really well, and then tail off a bit, and they'll come back again.
Yeah, obviously we're then 5:30 the Sunday. Then on the Sunday you've got Palace, Chelsea at 12. City travel to Southampton at 2:15. It's quite interesting.
I'd have been happier with that if Southampton hadn't gotten beat.
Yeah, yeah. But this is the thing about this, and following for the conversation, it was all in hope rather than expectation a week ago when we were talking about these teams. But as we've seen,
Palace were a laughing stock a week ago.
I said it ahead of the City game. You wouldn't bank on them, but they've got in Zaha and Townsend. You're never putting any money on Townsend scoring a week. He's not going to go week in, week out, but he does that. He does that twice a season, doesn't he, when he sticks
it's between him and Lovren for goal of the season so far for me, like, you know what I mean?
So it's possible that Chelsea could drop more points into Palace. And Southampton, you would bank City on that all day long.
Southampton had a bit of a revival under their new manager, then they go and get beat at home by West Ham.
Yeah. One thing I do like, and I think it would be brilliant, is if Ings scores in that game and they win like a 1-0 or something.
Well, that's,
that would be the best.
Agent Ings.
that's there for us, isn't it? And, you know, we talk about how...
Or a penalty.
Using your squad is so important in a Premier League season, isn't it? And truly using your squad is to have Danny Ings take points.
Seed them off around the league.
What does the City team hate? Loads of lads running at your impression. What does Danny Ings absolutely love?
But that's the thing. What Southampton look at the problems they caused Arsenal a couple of weeks ago, doing the same thing, getting in Arsenal's face and causing problems. I've said this, and I'll say this week in, week out. There's no way in hell that Spurs, Chelsea, or Man City will drop points this weekend. They shouldn't do, because they're miles better than all the teams they're playing. And but as we've seen, footy's mad, isn't it?
very, very rare do you get a weekend where every big club wins.
Yeah.
Also, I was going to say, one thing I do actually like...
The problem is that's just been United for most of the season.
one thing I actually do like, and Jürgen mentioned it in his notes before the game on Boxing Day, is I like that it's a home game, and I like that it's 5:30 on a Saturday. That's like the ideal time for us to play.
That is another day's extra rest, or at least a day's extra rest between the City game and the day off as well.
This is one of those things, isn't it, where you look back on it, and we've had such terrible luck in terms of the time and the fixtures over the Christmas period, always under Jürgen Klopp. We finally got the plum draw in terms of how all of these games have fallen for us. So we've got to use that to our advantage, and I agree with Jürgen and John for bringing it up. I am so excited for this game. That is exactly right. 5:30 on a Saturday night in amongst all the festive period against a really good team that wants to come to you and attack you and cause you problems. This is...
That's what football's about. It's what being a fan of football's about.
I'm loads more excited about this than I am nervous. And I was more nervous about Newcastle in some regards because of that whole managers who come to spoil it are the managers that have caused us problems down the years. So hopefully Unai Emery does come all guns blazing and we'll just see how we handle it all.
I actually think it's going to be a high scoring game. What,
5-0?
I think we might concede 2.
Okay.
But I think we'll win 3-2.
2?
Honestly, I know. I've just got one of those.
2-0 up and all the Arsenal fans are preparing the Invincibles memes and then going to win 5-2. John, what's your score prediction for this one?
I think we win 3-1.
Okay, 3-1.
4-0.
Wow. 3-2.
I'll take a 4-0 as well, Dad. Oh, I'm here for that. There's any score predictions, any preferred 11s in the comments underneath. Yes, please, as Ed mentioned, do go over and subscribe to RedmenTV.com for multiple reasons. Not only do we give you loads of excellently produced content on a weekly basis, tons and tons of value for money, both in video and in podcast form, but it does support everything we do on the channel, so it makes the free stuff available to you guys who maybe can't afford it or aren't old enough to subscribe to it, etc. So if you are and you want to support us, please do. And if you want all the extra content, it's there for you. Enjoy it. Other than that, thank you very much. Drop a like on this video if you think Liverpool can maintain this unbeaten run against the Gunners. There'll be hopefully a preview with Robbie Lyle from Arsenal Fan TV if he ever gets here. And other than that, we shall see you all post-match, hopefully with big smiles on our face and a big bow wrapped around 2018. Ta-da.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.